know, I just want to share a little side story because growing up in Durham, in that era, South Square Mall was a thing. And you would run into UNC and Duke players at South Square Mall all the time back in those days. And not all UNC and Duke players are nice to locals. This is what I'll tell you. Not all of them are nice to locals. But Forte and Haywood are good people. I wasn't even a UNC fan, but Forte was cold. No question, he was cold. I went up and asked for his autograph and asked him, was he going to go pro? What are you doing next? And he was just talking to me, some kid. And Haywood was very much the same way, man. Just good people. And I give him credit for that because even I can't say that about all UNC players. I certainly can't say that about all Duke players either. I give respect to those who show respect to the locals around because they are monumental figures, especially when you grow up in the Triangle. Shout out to those gentlemen, man.
I just got to say, I love the fact that we came on your show and got you in some way, shape, or form to speak well about UNC basketball. I'm just going to commend us. I don't have a little button, but go pew, us. Pew, pew, pew. Yes,
yeah, we you got can't you to see speak it on well. On the other side, though, we had like UNC. Two UNC posters. It's just filled with UNC stuff in this room on the other side. We should have had it in the background here, but it's all good.
You know, it's funny. I'll get into this later, but it's an experience that took place with you two as a couple that helped me emotionally detach from the whole UNC Duke thing altogether. I will get to that later on, but
can't wait.
But okay, you already had that vision to go to Carolina, but you were from the DMV area. So Shamel, growing up for you, where were you born?
I was born in the great city of Greensboro, North Carolina. But then I was raised in my middle and high school years in Trenton, New Jersey.
Okay. Going from Greensboro to Trenton, I imagine, was a bit different.
Yeah, it was. You know, my grandparents were in the Great Migration. My grandparents were from Guilford County, Graham and Sedalia, two small towns in North Carolina. And in the 50s, they moved to Trenton, New Jersey. So my mom grew up from a baby to high school in Trenton, New Jersey. I grew up in the summer times visiting my grandparents, but it was nothing living there at all. But the funny thing is that I'm still friends with a few of the people who I was in middle school with in sixth grade. One I just hung out with a few weeks ago, and I was the girl that, with a country accent, with a Southern accent. I didn't realize I had an accent until I was there. They were like, "You talk country." I'm like, "No, I don't." Anyway, I have an ear for accents. So if I'm in a place for too long, I start sounding like the people, and Nils can attest to
very
that.
True.
So,
very true.
Yeah. Yes.
Word.
It was dope being raised, you know, growing up in the South and also experiencing the North as well. You know, I'm just East Coast all the way.
When did you decide that you wanted to go, I guess, come back to North Carolina rather than stay in that Jersey area or somewhere else even?
Well, you know, Jersey, Trenton, you know, it helped to grow me up, but I didn't want to stay there. I only applied to one college in state. In New Jersey, the rest of the colleges I applied to were all in North Carolina. So I applied to 8 colleges. One was in New Jersey, 7 were in North Carolina. So the odds were that I was going to go to college in North Carolina. My roots were calling me back. I thought I was going to go to A&T, which is where my mother attended. My mother used to also work there. I got a chance to see A&T early on. But I also have a basketball story. The stars were just aligning for me, for UNC. But I was big and still am a huge Vince Carter fan. And I remember, I think it was, I was in eighth grade, I believe, maybe 2001. And that's, you know, the playoffs. He attended his graduation at UNC and he didn't attend one of his practices. The Raptors were in the playoffs. And so I was like, what is this UNC? And what is it about this school that you didn't, you were in the playoffs, but you missed one practice that you could go attend your graduation ceremony. Granted, I watched the playoffs and they lost that game. I can't remember who they were playing for, but I just really felt for him. And I was just wondering, what if he would have gone to practice, would they have won? But, you know, him attending his graduation at UNC was more important. And I commend him for that. I was a Vince Carter fan. After that, I started doing a lot of research on UNC and of course, Michael Jordan. And I wanted to be a journalism major at the time. So many people who I realized, you know, were media personalities attended UNC. Also, I wanted to go for the sports. I wanted to go to a huge school. I wanted to go to a D1 school. That also was a part of it.
I think it's fitting to talk about this step here because, well, it's fitting. We'll get to why, but getting to college, I often say, is not an accident. I think one of the unfortunate things about how stuff is designed is that there's such a penalty for not being at a certain place at a certain time, and things can then go real fast. And where did it all go? To make it to an institution like the University of North Carolina, you don't get there just by like having, say, mediocre grades, if you will. You have to be a pretty good student or a great athlete, one or the other. So, you know, what got you to UNC from a academic standpoint? Like, were you stellar students? Were you like, talk to me about how you strategically got to UNC as a high school person, and when did you actually start thinking that what I'm doing now is going to get me to UNC? Because I was in school, I was not thinking about college at all until basically it was time to apply.
Are you a first generation college student?
Yeah.
Okay, that might have had something to do with it. But Nils, you want to start with this one?
It's funny you say that. Oh, we got the screen. It's funny you say that. I had an interesting academic career or academic experience, my K-12 experience. There was a certain point in elementary school where the educators were starting to test me and wonder if I was dyslexic or ADHD. And what that left me with was, oh, I must not be good at school. And if you fast forward 2 years, I was actually placed in gifted and talented classes. And all that happened during that time was two moves. We moved to another neighborhood. I went to another school. And then the next year, we moved to another neighborhood. I went to another school. I went from getting tested for learning disabilities to getting placed in gifted and talented classes.
Tell me the differences between those schools and neighborhoods. Can you describe the environments there to give context?
Yeah, economically, they were different. They were different. I mean, it's Northern Virginia in the 90s. It's very mixed, and you're going to see everybody in every shade and every way, shape, or form. But economically, it was a little different where I was going to elementary school in the aspects of Northern Virginia. That was technically one of the low income areas of Northern Virginia. And then with each move, we went a step higher and a step higher in the economic neighborhoods in the Northern Virginia areas. As you can imagine, when you move to places that are economically more stable, there are more resources in the school. And even specifically, the teachers treated you differently. I gotta say, I'm almost certain that the physical move had a part to play in it. But I also think there was a fresh start that I was able to have in each school. The teachers had to embrace me for who I was and not what they knew of me or anything like that. And I guess face value, I was treated differently. It also helped that, the teacher that I had in the school where I was getting placed for learning disability was a white woman. And she was stereotypically acting very much so like a white woman, not talking to my mom. My mom didn't even know I was getting tested.
Oh,
she had to find out after they had a diagnosis.
How does that even happen?
How does that happen? Exactly. Because, I mean, you think because someone has an accent, that they may not necessarily know all the intricacies of education, and they may judge whether that person has a degree or not, that they may be aware of what's best for their kid. But I'll tell you, with the utmost confidence in the world, parents know what's best for their kids, right? They may not know all the tools, they may not know the specific resources and the names and the terminology for stuff, but parents know what's best for their kids. The minute my mom found out that I was getting tested for something that was in correlation to reading, that was in correlation to spelling, she was, no, this, when he comes home, all he does is read and play video games. There is nothing wrong with him. So we're just going to move because I don't trust y'all.
Wow.
There were some financial reasons for why we had to move too, but we moved, and those moves had a substantial impact in my life. My sixth grade teacher told me I was smart. He was one of the first adults outside of my family who told me that academically, I was smart. Mm. I think that specific statement is the reason I thought college was possible. Because I was like, I'm smart. What do smart people do? Smart people go to college. That placement that he said to me at the time is, I think, part of the reason I was like, oh, I can go to college. And so that led to attending college access programs, studying,
so you doing did, well in you tests did and all that. Attend programs and did you seek those, or were you kind of put in those?
A little bit of both. Some aspiring students in Fairfax County Public Schools, they had this program called the College Partnership Programs, and a counselor would nominate you to attend, but you have to choose to want to do it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even ask my mom. I was like, I'm doing this. It said college in the title. And I'm smart, remember? So I'm going to college. I was like, yes, I'm signing up for it. I just told my mom to sign something. I'm sure she read it, but in retrospect, I'll just sign this. It's going to help me go to college, and we kept the movie.
Very interesting. Very interesting. So, Shamel, I'm curious about you. Like, when did you start, like, really think about preparing yourself for college?
Well, as far as preparing myself, well, I always loved school from growing up. The teacher just said I talked too much, but outside of that, I still got my grades. I was, like, on every report card before middle school. I was also in a college access program. So I was in a college access program in Princeton, through Princeton University, called the Princeton University Preparatory Program, and it was for high-achieving, low-income students. I grew up in a single parent household. I filled out an application and I was nominated for that program when I was in the ninth grade by an English teacher. Thank God she nominated me for that program and I got a chance to be on the campus, Princeton's campus, for 3 summers.